let me invite you tonight to take your Bible with me, please, as we begin. And let's turn to the book of Jude tonight. The book of Jude this evening. I have to admit tonight that this message has been kind of stirring around in my mind for quite some time, but I have struggled to put it together. But I feel compelled of the Lord that tonight we need to consider these thoughts together. Jude, verse 3, is a very interesting text of Scripture, and it provides for us an interesting perspective, one that I find myself relating with tonight. Jude says in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Jude writes and he says to those to whom he is writing, "Beloved, when I endeavored in all diligence to write unto you, I had within my mind a message that I wanted to share. But one became more needful." And Jude then begins to write his letter on that which is needful. There are times in the life of any ministry that there are messages that just become needful. And there are things that need to be shared with the people of God. I want you to notice, though, at the outset of it, Jude's motivation in this letter that he is going to write. It's found in that first word, beloved, dearly beloved. His motivation for sharing this needful message was one of love. And because of Jude's love for God's people, he was compelled to deal with an issue that was pressing upon the people of God in his day. Over the past few weeks especially, there have been some things that I have had to wrestle with that most of you would know nothing of. There are some things that are taking place around us, some of which are some sins that are being engaged in by others that one day most likely will need to be dealt with. But the reality is, my prayer is, that those who are engaged in such things will repent of their sin and seek forgiveness. The sins that they are dealing with are damaging and are easy to get caught up in. If you have no idea what I might be speaking of, then the reality is you probably are not caught up in it. If you know what I'm speaking of, then the truth is you may very well be caught up in it. But again, I trust that the Spirit of God in His time will reveal all things and that Jesus Christ will be glorified. And folks, I'm confident that He will. As I've wrestled through these things, I found myself considering over and again a thought that I want to bring out to you tonight. I have to admit to you, it's really not what I want to preach on. It's not at this juncture of the year what I planned to preach on. As we were preparing for a prophecy conference, I was hoping to do some preaching on some of the groundwork of the study of eschatology to prepare us for a prophecy conference. That's what I would prefer to do tonight. But the truth is, there are things that are at times more needful. And so tonight we're going to begin to approach such a topic, and I trust it'll be helpful to all of us. Before we do it, though, let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that we can come, meet together, be ministered to by the word of God. Lord, it's at times needful for us to consider some truth that will help us face things that we all will deal with, but at this point in time are being dealt with by some. And Lord, I pray that tonight, even though we won't address specifically a sin, but Lord, a remedy to such problems within our life, I pray that you would help us and give us understanding. And Lord, that we would take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to our own hearts and lives, that we got not swept away by the sins that can so easily beset us. So Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In recent weeks, our youth group has picked up a game and has been playing it much that I grew up playing on our playground. It's a game called Foursquare. I can remember many days in elementary school playing that game at recess. We enjoyed that game. As I think back on those years in elementary school and playing that game, inevitably what comes to my mind are a few scenarios that I want just to mention this evening. The first scenario goes like this. It's time for recess. The bell has rung. Little Susie grabs the ball that she brought from home to use at the playground. Little Susie goes to the foursquare and all the kids begin to line up. And the game begins to play. All is going well until something happens and little Susie is now out. And she doesn't like the fact that she didn't win. So what does little Susie do? Little Susie takes her ball and goes somewhere else. And all the kids are left with nothing to play. Or the scenario might go something like this. Little Mikey's in the game. Little Mikey feels like everyone is ganging up on him and they are just simply not allowing him to win. So as he waits his turn, he concocts a plan. And so little Mikey, as he gets into the round the next time around, as the ball comes his way, he kicks the ball over the fence, ruining the game for everyone else because now their recess and the ball that they had is gone. Now we hear scenarios like that and we think, how silly, how trite. But you know, into the life of that child, it's not silly nor is it trite. But as we get older, we begin to look at that and we think how silly those things really are. But you know, there's a problem that still rears its ugly head in the lives of all of us. Even as adults, when things don't go our way. You know that? Matter of fact, that's the theme that I want to talk to you about tonight. In fact, that's the title of our message. When things don't go my way. You know, all of us face times in our lives when things just don't seem to be going our way. All of us face that. It might be that project at work and you have put a great deal of time into it. Yet you don't feel that you got all the credit that you should have. You're the one of on that team that worked the hardest and you seem to have provided most of the information. But someone comes in at the end, they sweep in at the end, and they steal the show. And things just aren't going your way at work. That quick household chore that you had now leads to a home renovation. Tim can explain what that is like this week. Things just don't go our way at home. That vehicle of yours seems to turn your wallet into a revolving door to the local mechanic. Money comes in and it just seems to go right back to him. And things aren't going your way. We all face times in our lives when things don't go our way. These times for us become a time of testing, but they also, folks, become a time of temptation. The question is, how will you and I respond when things don't go our way? Will we seek the counsel of the Lord from His Word, or will we live according to our flesh? When things don't go my way, how do I respond? You know, as important as it is for us to handle the scenarios above well, my burden, my ever-growing concern, and what's been upon my heart over the last few weeks and maybe few months is how we as a church handle problems here. When things don't go our way at church, what will we do? When the leadership makes a decision that you don't like, what's your response? When someone else is chosen for a ministry and not you, how do you respond? When someone else does the same ministry that you do, but they do it better and they get the recognition and you don't, when things aren't going your way at church, how do you respond? And folks, I'll be honest with you. What I find within Christendom and what I find sometimes within our own church is that we handle the situations of life at work, at home, with our vehicles better than we do when it's at church. When things don't go my way, how will we respond? Tonight, as I begin to look at this, I want you to understand with me, first of all, what I'm going to call the power of two. I want you to understand the power of two. When things don't go my way, how can I respond in a right way, a biblical way? Well, we first of all must understand the power of two. The Bible clearly teaches that every born-again believer has two lives that he can live. He has two masters he can serve, and there are two ends in mind. I want you to consider those thoughts with me tonight. There are two lives that you can live. There are two responses of life that you can engage yourself in when things don't go your way. I want you to take your Bible and go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This isn't a new verse to us. It's a very familiar verse to us. We studied it not that long ago. In Galatians chapter 5, we find that there are two lives that you and I can live. There's two ways that we can control our response when things don't go our way. Galatians 5 verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." Every believer has a choice in his life to either live by the flesh or live by the power of the Spirit. You can walk in your life according to the old life, according to the flesh. Or you can put on in your life the new man. You can put on the Spirit of God. You can be controlled by Him. But you cannot have both at the same time. You are either walking in the flesh or you are walking in the Spirit. So when things don't go your way, you can either choose to live a life that is fleshly or you can live a life that is spiritual. When a decision is made that you don't like, you can either get in the flesh or you can respond in the Spirit. When someone else is exalted over you, you can either get in the flesh or you can get in the Spirit and respond biblically. Those are our two choices. But notice what Paul says. The two are contrary the one to the other. That word to be contrary simply means that they are polar opposites. It means that they have no common ground. There is no point of fellowship in those two. That's why we say you cannot have it both. You will either choose to live a life according to the flesh or live a life according to the Spirit. You will either do that which is gratifying to self, or you're going to allow the Spirit of God to control you. There is two ways for you and I to live: in the flesh or in the Spirit. When things don't go your way, you have a choice to make. And we have to choose which life we will live. As a believer, we are challenged to choose the right way. Paul is going to give to us in Galatians 5 the reality that we should be fighting hard for that which is spiritual. We're told there in verse 17 again that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That word lusteth there again means to desire to put down. The flesh wants to put the Spirit down. It wants to suppress the Spirit life. But the Spirit wants to suppress the life of the flesh. And there is a constant battle that is raging in your life and in mine. And we must be aware that when things don't go my way, I have a choice that I'm confronted to. Every time. When conflict arises, I must choose the life I will live. One of my flesh, or one controlled by the Spirit of God. These two are contrary to each other. Matter of fact, Paul goes on in this passage and he outlines for us the works of the flesh and he outlines for us the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to know how you should respond when things don't go your way, consider verse 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When things don't go my way, I have a choice between two lives that I can live. I also have a choice between two masters that I will serve. Go to Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, I want you to notice with me verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In your life, you have a choice to make between which master you will serve. You have a choice between the life that you will live, a life of the flesh or the life of the Spirit. And that choice is ultimately made by the master that you choose to serve. You can either choose to follow the master Jesus Christ, or you can follow the master of mammon, which refers to that which is material, that which is fleshly, that which is of this earth. Matter of fact, if you jump back up just a few verses to verse 19, we're told, lay not up for ourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But instead, make the better choice to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Because those are eternal. Jesus Christ makes it clear in Matthew chapter 6 that you cannot serve two masters. You must choose whom it is that you will serve. You will either serve God or you will serve yourself, as represented again by that word, mammon. Now folks, this isn't a new challenge for any believer. It's been the challenge of every generation. We must choose to serve either God or self. And when things don't go my way, I must choose the master that I will bow before. Is it God or me that will be exalted? That's my choice. I want you to think about some who have had to make that choice. I want you to consider with me Jacob for a moment. By the way, I think Jacob represents, in many ways, the average Christian. He's the supplanter. He's the deceiver. We see his sin nature. It's rampant in him. I think we would all like to think of ourselves more like Isaac or Abraham. But we're probably most like Jacob. We try to have things our way. That was Jacob's problem. Jacob always wanted to scheme to have everything his way, to make the outcome come out the way he wanted it to come out, to make people be what he wanted them to be. Jacob was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. But I want you to notice that Jacob was called of God to return to Bethel and there renew his commitment to the Lord. And as he comes back to Bethel, in Genesis 35, verse 2 and 3, Jacob calls the whole household together, his wives and his children and his servants. And I want you to hear what he says. Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garment. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar unto God. Folks, all the days of Jacob's life, he has erected an altar to himself. But now he says, listen, let's put away the strange gods. It's time to return unto the Lord. Jacob was making a choice not to serve self, but to serve as God. I want you to think of Joshua for a moment. Joshua has completed the conquest of the land of Canaan. Israel and every tribe is getting ready now to go and possess their land, to begin to live in the land promised to them by Almighty God. And Joshua brings the congregation of Israel together and says to them, choose you this day whom you will serve. If it seem evil unto you to serve God, so be it, but make your choice. You can't teeter on the fence. Choose who you will serve. But then, as a leader should, he stands up and declares, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But the choice had to be made. I think probably one of the greatest examples of this is Elijah the prophet. The people of Israel, 10 northern tribes under Ahab, have fallen into idolatry. They have forsaken the word of God. They have been living according to their lust and according to their flesh. Even though they had all the commands of God and the scripture, the Old Testament law was there, they refused it and they followed after Baal. So Elijah meets the prophets of Baal and the king on Mount Carmel. And he calls the congregation of Israel together and says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And then he says, let's put him to the test and find out which one's real. And proves to them that God is worthy to be served. Folks, the choice, though, is yours. I can't make it for you. The choice is yours. And you have to make it regularly. Because when things don't go your way, you're going to have to choose, who am I going to serve? Will I serve me? Or will I serve God? Am I going to serve the desires of my flesh? Or will I try to please Almighty God? And that choice is yours to make. Who will you choose? See, folks, when
trial and temptation come, we're placed into the frying pan. And when the heat's turned on, the choice must be made. And when we come to that crossroad, it makes a difference which choice you make. But that choice is yours. But when folks choose to serve self, there is a consequence. And that consequence can be very damaging.
But understand, you must choose. Will I serve God? Or will I serve self? The decision is of vital importance because there are two ends to be determined. See, there's two lives that you can live. You'll make that choice based on the master that you choose to serve. But please understand, there are two ends to be determined. If you choose self, if you choose mammon, if you choose the flesh, there is an end for you. But if you choose God and the Spirit, there is also an end. If we choose to serve the Lord, the Bible says there is blessing. If we choose to serve self, there is a curse. According to Matthew chapter 6, if we choose the things of this world, we'll have temporary satisfaction, but it won't last forever because moth and rust will corrupt and thieves will break through and steal. But if we choose God, there is eternal reward. And no one can touch that. There's two ends to be determined in your life and in mine. The reality that we must face is that when we are faced with the thought of temptation and testing, the choice that we make determines where we end up. Whenever God allows you to face time of testing and temptation, I hope you understand that He's determined for you His best. Sometimes folks think of testing and temptations as God not being fair, God not being kind, God being cruel that we would have to go through times such as this. Yet, folks, trials and temptations are part of God's goodness in us. For God longs to bless us. Romans 8:28 makes that clear. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God intends all things for good. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, we read these words, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him." God never allows temptations and trial to come that we would be enticed to sin or to cause us to fall or to make us stumble. But I said to you early that when we have things not going our way, it is a time of trial, but it's also a time of temptation. Where God means it for good, the devil wants to destroy. For he is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he will use whatever means necessary to destroy your life in mine. And he'll use whatever needs necessary to destroy the church of Jesus Christ in any given locality. Why? Because he's our enemy. But I want to remind you of something that we said this morning. Jesus Christ came, was manifested for what two purposes? To take away your sin in salvation and to destroy the works of the devil in your life and in mine, that the power of sin not reign over us. What a wonderful thought. See, when things don't go my way, that's okay. When trials and testing comes, that should be okay for us because God means it for good. But the problem is we are tempted not because of God, We are tempted because we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. We give in to our flesh. We choose to live a life of the flesh. We choose to submit ourselves to mammon, to the flesh. And there is an end determined for that life. You and I better be aware of that. Thankfully, it won't mean that we will lose our salvation, but we will miss out on much of the blessing of God. Again, our enemy, the devil, wants to destroy. He wants you to get into the flesh. He wants you to do the works of the flesh and of sin. Why? According to James, we're told this, that sin, when it conceives, brings forth death, destruction. That's the goal that the devil has for you. He knows that sin in the life, unconfessed and unchecked, will destroy you. It will destroy me. Beloved, you and I have a choice to make. It's one or the other. Here's the reality. Things won't always go your way. By the way, where did we get the idea that they should? Just think about that for a moment. Where did you and I ever get the idea that life is supposed to go my way? Folks, that is contradictory to a life in Christ, is it not? Someone tell me why.
For me to live is Christ.
For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, it's not supposed to go your way or my way. It's all about His way, is it not? Why did God give us His Word? Why do you have the Bible? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To show me what? His way. You know, the Bible was not given to you and I to reveal to us our will and our way. It was given to us that we might know the will and the way of Almighty God. And it's not supposed to be your way or my way. It's supposed to be God's way, and that's revealed to us through His Word. And by the way, in every area of life that we've already mentioned tonight, at work, at home, with our possessions, and especially at church, God has given us the instruction for how things ought to be done. He's told us what His way is. Here's our problem, folks. We have misguided information and misconceptions about what God wants from you and from me. We have misguided thoughts about what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about. And we have misguided thoughts about who serves and how it works and who the servants of the church are. I listen to folks and I hear people say things to me. I hear of other conversations that are had. And you know what I'm finding? We have very little understanding of sometimes what the Bible says we ought to do. Why? Because we have put our interpretation into the Word of God, and it's my way as we find it in God's Word. But it's not about your way. It's not about mine. God's way. And the reality is, when things don't go my way, will I seek the Lord? While he may be found, or will I serve the lust of my flesh? Will I accept that God brought this trial into our life and allow him to work it for good? Or will I refuse the work of God in my life, blame others, and become bitter towards them and God? The choice is yours. See, folks, there are two ways to live based on one of two masters that you will serve. But there's two ends to be determined in your life and mine. One leads to God's blessing. The other leads to God's destruction. To our destruction, excuse me. See, your choice is that when I'm hurt, I can trust that the Lord repays, for vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Or I can retaliate, and I can lie, and I can slander, and I can do all kinds of things against other people. But the truth is, when I take that choice, I'm choosing a life of the flesh instead of a life of the Spirit. Not only must we understand the power of two, but I also want us to comprehend the purpose of the test. Now, I wish tonight we had time to actually deal with that one, but I'm going to leave that to next week. Because I do think these things are important for us. You and I live in an imperfect world with imperfect people, and things aren't going to go your way, and they're not going to go mine. How will we respond? The choice that you make between those two will make all the difference. You can choose a life in the flesh or a life in the Spirit. You can choose to serve self or you can serve Jesus Christ. You can accept the fact that as I trust in God, he will bless. But if I become consumed with self, sin will have dominion over me, and Satan will desire to destroy. And my concern is, folks, that some around us are making the wrong choice because things just didn't go their way. And when that happens, we have to be on guard in our own heart and in our own life. Because all of us have that choice to make. What will you choose? My prayer for you and for me and for those involved in what is happening around us is that they will choose a life of the Spirit and a life surrendered to Jesus Christ, their Master, that they would know God's blessing. Not a life of the flesh and not a life of self, which will lead to their destruction. The choice is yours and the choice is mine. What will you choose tonight? If things don't go your way, let's pray.